Well, the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Daniel, chapter 6, this evening. This is a great story. You've been taught this from the time that you were in the junior class as a kid. Daniel, chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men, the men that hated Daniel, assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Had this been Nebuchadnezzar, instead of Darius, Nebuchadnezzar could have changed that. He was absolutely sovereign. Oh, I've got me one here. But this is Darius, and he couldn't change the decree. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And ladies and gentlemen, God Almighty is still able to do that today. I was reminded, as I thought on these ancient kings and the decree that they gave to kill someone. They were not the least bit concerned about the humanity of the event, how humanely it was done. Nebuchadnezzar and Darius both would have scoffed at our methods of capital punishment. And these guys were creative. Here's the setting for our story. Some guys slicked the king to pass an edict that if anyone asked anything of any god or man besides Darius, they would be cast into a den of lions. I can't think of a tougher method of execution to be thrown into a den of starving lions, especially if you are a cultured and dignified and godly man like Daniel. Daniel is one of the few men in the Bible that is not charged with a single sin. We know that he was a sinner, but God doesn't choose to note any of his sins. He rather chooses to note all the great qualities of Daniel's life. This old man is about to say goodbye to a life characterized by dignity and hard work and godliness at the paws of a frenzied lion. Suffering wrongly is common to men and women of integrity. Dying for a worthy cause is the ultimate sacrifice. Men and women all around the world have died for friends and family and for freedom. I've stood in the national cemeteries across America and viewed the meticulous kept grounds of soldiers who gave their lives for freedom and have been deeply moved by it all. Those men died for my freedom. And you look at that, and it does something to your heart. But to die in a lion's den because of an ego-beguiled king who would be God for a month might lead some people to evasive maneuvers. Most would postpone their nice religion for 30 days with less pressure than what Daniel had. Daniel was a man with executive privileges. He had his privacy. He could pray with his windows closed for 30 days if he chose to do that. But here's the deal, folks. Daniel said, "My relationship with God is more important than the pressure of any king, of anyone." How could he do that? I mean, all he would have to do is shut the window. Here's how he could do it. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." When you go through the waters, the Lord said, "I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." It depends on who you think is bigger in your life, the King or Almighty God. Folks, that's what it comes down to. Most of the tough decisions come down to that. God doesn't want secret disciples. When the Passover angel came through Egypt, God said, "Sprinkle the blood on the outside of your door where everybody can see what you believe." I want you to go with me now to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 says this: For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If God is in your heart, you will not be ashamed of him in your life. Even if it means you can just shut your window and live, or you can keep that window open and trust God for everything and trust God for your life. God is able to take care of the lion's den in your life. Daniel was probably ready when he got the knock on the door. He knew that they would be coming. And he probably said something like this, oh God, I need you right now. Just because you have great faith in God doesn't mean that you won't tremble on the rock on which you stand. So they take Daniel to the lion's den. And the king says, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Those words are always spoken by those who don't have to go to the lion's den. The king went through a long night. He didn't stay long at the den of lions. I suspect the enemies of Daniel did. They wanted to hear the roar of the lions, the breaking of the bones, the screams of Daniel, but they heard nothing. They listened, but still nothing. I absolutely cannot tell you as a Christian that you will never have to go into a den of lions, but I will tell you, if you serve the Lord continually, if you serve the Lord in innocency, he will deliver you. His angels are there for our protection. And ladies and gentlemen, this story is still being repeated today, not with den of lions, but somebody that has a sword in their hand. Daniel could not have saved himself. His past life and performance and intelligence could not save him. Only God could save him. Isn't it wonderful to know when your life is out of control, when you are powerless, God is there. And Francis Schaeffer said, God is always there and he is never silent. He's always working. And that is the truth. You don't live to yourself and you don't die to yourself. Here's something for you to think about. The God who spared Daniel did not spare his son for us. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 32. Let me just encourage you. Periodically, read John chapter 19, the story of the crucifixion. It will do something to your heart every time. But here, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God would give his son, his only begotten son for us, What do you think he's going to keep from us now? The most precious thing to the heart of God was his son. And he delivered him up for all of us. Oh, Father, thank you. Again, thank you for the cross. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for the great stories that we have that we can read, and your Holy Spirit just speaks to our heart with it. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the life that Jill had, and you called her home right on time. And she wanted to go home. And it is such a comfort to my heart that when somebody is hurting and they just say, Lord, I want to go home, and you take them there, we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name.